Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Growing up, I was taught a lot of things that didn't necessarily come from the Bible. Things like Adam and Eve ate the apple. Well, the Bible never says it was an apple. It calls it a fruit. We made the apple part up. Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Well, it says a great fish. It doesn't say it was a whale. We just say it was a whale. We usually put the wise men at the manger scene when they didn't show up till 2 or 3 years later. And we always say the three wise men when there was probably 300 of them. One of my favorites, well, Paul preached from the King James Version. So if it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. I've actually heard that one. You don't wear shorts to church. You don't speak or move in church. I'll never forget the time that I came to church with flip-flops on and thought I was going to be destroyed. And I was like, you guys do realize that Jesus and the apostles wore sandals, right? But it's interesting, things that we have used that we say is biblical. And sadly, there's still churches out there that think the only translation you can use is the King James Version. You have to wear a suit and tie. Women can't wear pants. You can't do this. You can't do that. And there's absolutely no biblical basis for these things. Well, the problem is these different things can cause division in a church. Whether it's the translation that you use, the clothes that you wear, the just certain theological things can cause divisions in the church. And if we're not careful, we allow these non-biblical things to divide us. Most church division, most church problems come from non-biblical things. And so today we're going to begin a new series titled Watch Out. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at four things that we need to watch out for with a little twist on the last one, and you'll see when we get there. And so we begin, we're going to look at watch out for those who divide. We want to watch out for those who seek to divide the church. As Paul is ending his wonderful letter to the Romans, he wants them to watch out for those who cause division. Now, the letter to the Romans is probably Paul's most theological letter. There is so much beauty of theology in there. And sometimes we can be like, well, we don't need to know theology. That's what you are for. Well, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and that on the third day he rose again? That's theology. That's theology. You believe Jesus died on the cross. Theology is simply the study of God, what we believe concerning God. And a lot of times what causes issues, what causes division, what causes churches to divide can be bad theology. And so we're going to look today at, we need to watch out for those who divide, who would seek to divide the church. Romans 16, beginning in verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note, or watch out, that word means to watch out, those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I do ask that you be with us today as we look at this passage, as we look at this concept of division that can happen so easily in a church. And I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit and help us to see the beauty and the truth of your word, and help us to understand what you're saying and what you would have us to hear and to say. And I pray, Lord, that I would sit down and that you would stand up. And I pray that everything said would be you speaking through your servant. Lord, be with us now. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. And so the first thing that we see is we need to watch for dividers. As Paul says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." We need to know the dividers. As long as the church seeks to follow after the Lord, it will always be under attack by the enemy. As long as the church is trying to do what God has called it to do, as long as the church is trying to be the men and women that God has called it to be, it will always be under attack by the enemy. What can be hard to deal with is when the enemy uses those in the church to accomplish his purpose. Now, I think back when not long after I first became a Christian, I thought all Christians had the right motives. I thought all people came to church for the right reasons. And I learned rather quickly that's not always the case. Paul tells the Romans to note those who cause divisions and offenses. The word for note means to keep an eye on, look out for, or watch out. Offenses are obstacles in the way, like a trap or a snare, like you set a trap. So Paul is saying, watch out for people who divide and trap you. And unfortunately, there are those types of people. We need to be careful of people who seek to divide the church, for they can hinder the message of Jesus among the lost. People can come in, cause division in the church, and hurt the church's message among the lost. We can become so busy fighting ourselves that we're not fighting the real enemy, and we're not seeking to bring the lost into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We often get upset when someone doesn't do something the way we think they should. This is where a lot of our problems come from. They don't do it the way we think they should have did it. Our expectations are not met, and we get upset, and at times we cause problems because of this. Well, so-and-so should have done it this way. Well, if you wanted it done that way, you should have done it yourself. If you don't like the way somebody's doing something, then get up out of your pew and do something yourself. Because I've noticed that 95% of the people that complain about the things that people are doing in the church are people that aren't doing anything themselves. And again, the same principle is true, as I'll tell people, if you don't go to the polls and vote, you can't complain about who the president is. If you didn't vote, you can't complain about a president. You have no right to complain. The same is true with the church. If you don't come to the business meeting, you don't have a right to complain for what the church decides. Because everybody knows when the business meetings is. Everybody's invited. If you're a member, you have a right to come. You have a right to voice your opinion. And so often we get upset because our expectations are not met. Just because someone does not do something the way we think they should doesn't mean that their way is wrong. You know, again, there is absolutely nothing wrong with a woman wearing pants to church. There's absolutely nothing wrong with somebody coming in with flip-flops. There's absolutely nothing wrong with using a translation that is not the King James Version. And we get it in our mind that our way is always right and everybody else's way is wrong, and that's not the case. And we can use these things to cause problems. And I've noticed that there are some people who, no matter what you do, they are never happy. I'll never forget, not long after I came here, I come to a business meeting, and somebody gets up in the business meeting and says, "Well, I think the deacons need to do this." And so the deacons do exactly what this person said, asked them to do, comes to the next business meeting the next month. This is a month apart. Comes to the next business meeting, and the same person that told the deacons to do it shot it down. There are some people that are not happy unless they're causing problems, causing divisions, causing issues in the church. We are to keep our eyes on or watch out for people who cause division and stumbling. It's sad to say that not all people who come to church come for the right reasons. At some point in time, we have all been hurt by someone in the church. Every single one of us at some point in time has been hurt by someone in the church. So how do we watch out for those who divide? How do we do this? We know what is truth. That is how. We are to know what is truth. And when anybody compromises the truth, those are the ones that are seeking to divide. Paul says in verse 17, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned." Divisions occur when our theology gets misplaced in the wrong place. What causes division is when our theology about something gets out of whack. when we believe the Bible says or teaches something that it does not. The two biggest things that I have seen cause division in the church is power and preference. Power can divide the church. The Pharisees wanted Jesus gone because people were following Jesus instead of them. Miriam and Aaron spoke out against Moses as the leader in Numbers chapter 12. They were like, "Moses, we're just as good as you." In Numbers 16, Korah incited a rebellion against Moses and Aaron and said, "We as Levites are just as good as y'all. You went too far, Moses." Absalom wanted to be king, so he worked hard to take the kingdom away from his dad. People in the time of Daniel was not happy with how he was in charge, so they set a trap to get him thrown in the lion's den. Each of these divisions came because of a power struggle. The Bible is full of stories that show problems as a result of people wanting to be in power, and they seem to leave God out of the equation. I have seen in church after church power struggles. People thinking that the church belongs to them, thinking that they are in charge of the church. As we look at the church today, the Bible gives us a very simple power structure. So I'm going to tell you this morning the way the church is supposed to work according to the Bible. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, period. This is not my church. This is not your church. This is not my ancestors' church. This is not my mama or daddy or cousin Jimbo's church. The church belongs to Christ. He is the head of the church. Then elders or pastors are appointed to lead based on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Do you know who's supposed to make decisions for the church? Pastors and elders, biblically. Do you know there's nowhere in the Bible about a member-led church? You know that's not biblical? Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. Do you know anywhere, I'm going to have a little fun with you guys this morning. Do you know anywhere in culture where the sheep tell the shepherd what to do? Often we forget that the pastor or the pastors of a church don't work for you. They're called by God. They are leaders called by God to preach the word and serve. And often we get so upset when people don't do what we think. Well, the pastor didn't do this or the deacons didn't do that. Biblically, Christ is the head of the church, then the pastor or elders. And then deacons are chosen as servants. Do you know that biblically deacons have absolutely no authority or power to make decisions? The word deacon means table waiter. They are a servant. They are the ones that are supposed to be meeting the needs of the people so that the pastor can focus on prayer and the ministry of the word. You know, it's interesting. Well, the pastor didn't come see me. When's the last time you said the deacons didn't come see me? Because biblically, the deacons are the ones that are to do that. Read Acts 6 if you don't believe me. Well, when's the last... So we always complain because somebody doesn't do this or somebody doesn't do that. And we have divisions in the church over things that we don't even have a biblical basis for. And so as we look at this, everybody has their position. They have their role. You have Christ, who is the head of the church. And then Christ calls somebody to lead. Christ calls somebody to be the authority in charge. And that person is responsible and answers to Christ. And so when the pastor makes a mistake, he got to answer to Jesus. That's scary. That's a lot of responsibility. And then the deacons come alongside the pastor to help meet the needs of the people, to help reach out to the people, to help do what needs to be done around the church. It is a teamwork thing. And so often I've been to business meetings where when a vote is cast, people will look at a person to see how they vote first. And then they'll vote based on that. No. Christ is the head of the church. The other thing that I've seen divide churches more than anything is preferences. We all have our ideas of how we think things should be done, and when they are not done the way we think they should, we cause problems. We can divide over the type of music we have. Well, we should do more praise and worship. Well, we should stick to only hymns. Well, we need drums. Well, we need this. Why can't we just come and worship Jesus? If you need a certain kind of music to worship Jesus, the problem is not the music, the problem is your heart. I'll never forget what someone who has a master's degree in music said to me. He's been a music minister his entire life, pretty much. And he looks at me and he says, worship that is synonymous with music is dangerous. If we equate worship to music, we've missed the point. Worship is a heart of gratitude. If we come up here with drums and a guitar, nobody should get mad and leave the church. If we don't have drums and guitar, nobody should get mad and leave the church. We can divide over the translation of the Bible we use. Now, I've had lots of complaints about translations that I use at times. Do you know that the King James Version that we have today is not the original? It's actually a translation of the original, and it is actually the 7th English translation of the Bible. And we can divide over how the money is spent. We can divide over how someone did something. The list could go on and on over, well, I wanted this color of carpet. Well, I wanted that color of carpet. And as we look at these things, this is not the way of the church. This is not the way the people of God should be. We should be able to sit down and talk about differences instead of getting mad and leaving the church. If it is heartbreaking to hear stories about members that ran off other members, usually because of power and preferences. We all know people that's been ran off because of someone else. Sometimes people leave because someone was mean to them. Sometimes people leave because they didn't agree with something that was said. Well, when we have those divisions, you know, most divisions that happen in the church are over non-biblical issues. And when we have those divisions, we should talk it out. This is why it is so important that we get back to the basics of the Bible. What does the Bible say? The Bible is our guideline. The Bible is our guidebook. And the Bible is what we should be following. Not only do we need to know the truth, but we need to know the motives. We need to know the motives of those who seek to divide. Paul says their only concern is their own belly. I like this. Paul says, he says, for those who do such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. You know, they're only worried about feeding themselves. People who divide, people who cause problems in the church, they don't care about the church. They don't care about how things are spent. They just want to cause problems. We can easily get caught up in this is my church or this is my money or I gave that. Let me tell you something. Once you give your tithes to the church like the Bible commands you, it's no longer yours. It belongs to God. When you give to the church, you give up your control. And if you don't trust the people that you put in charge, that's... I mean, if you can't trust your pastor and your deacons and your treasurer and your leaders, why did you elect them? We need to be able to trust one another. We need to be able to build one another up. And it drives me crazy. Well, I gave that to the church, and this is what it's to be used for. Okay, what if God wants to use it for something else? Does it matter? That was my money. Don't work that way. Sadly, there are people in the church that are only there for their own gain and not the message of Jesus. Paul is warning the Romans that there are people who come for the wrong reasons. They are there to divide the church and cause problems among the people of God, and they don't obey Christ. They obey their own stomachs. They were worried about feeding themselves and not the flock. As we come together, we are to seek to make decisions based on what's best for the church in accordance to the will of God. I can honestly say that every deacon meeting, that the deacons work very hard to try to make decisions based on what's best for the church, not what's best for them. We have been blessed with a good group of deacons, and I'm not ashamed to say that. We have great deacons in this church. And they really do a good job trying to do what's best for the church. And a lot of times they get slack, but they are wonderful. We are blessed. And so we need to come together. We need to work together. And we need to make decisions, not based on what I want or what so-and-so wants, but what's best for the church to expand the ministry of God. And so Paul says, watch out for dividers. Next, Paul tells us to watch obedience. In verse 19, he says, for your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Paul knows that the people have worked hard to obey the Lord and commends them on the truth. You talk about a compliment that Paul gives to the Roman church. Your obedience has become known to all. Even though they were obedient, they could still be led astray by false beliefs. And that's what Paul's warning them about. Paul's like, I know that you're obedient. I know that you want to follow after Christ. I know that you want to be the best that you can be. And that's why I'm warning you. You need to watch out, because not everybody's there for the right reasons. And so throughout the Bible, we are taught of the need to obey God. When Moses led the people, he told them that if they did not obey God, they would be cast out of the land. God would send prophet after prophet to call the people to come back to obedience. And if they did not, destruction was coming their way. In Hebrews chapter 12, we see that God disciplines us when we are not obedient to Him. Throughout the Bible, we are told that we are to obey God. We are to obey the Word. We are to live like Christ. Division comes when the people of God become obedient to their bellies instead of being obedient to God. Division comes when it becomes about what I want instead of what God wants. Division comes when it becomes about me and not about us. When it becomes about this and not about Christ and what He has called us to do. Division comes when it becomes about our stomachs and not the work of God. When we give our lives to Christ, we are called to trust and obey. We are called to follow after Him with all that we are. May it be said of us, your obedience is known to all. That'd be a great compliment to hear, wouldn't it? Man, you know those people at Hopewell? They obey the Lord. You talk about a good reputation. How are we doing in the area of obedience in our lives? Because not only are we to be obedient, but we're to be pure. Because of their obedience, Paul tells them to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Simple, the word used for simple means pure. You're to be pure. I love what one study Bible says about wise about what is good. It says, Christians are to be experts in doing good. I like that. Christians are to be experts in doing good. In other words, it should come natural to us to do what is good and right. Divisions at business meetings, fights in business meetings, these should feel unnatural to the people of God. We should seek unity and not division. And unity and uniformity is not the same thing. You can have unity and still have difference of opinions. You can have unity and still disagree on certain things. We should seek what is best for the kingdom of God and not what is best for us. We should not take part in what is evil, but to be people who look to what is good. Sometimes we need to look at people. And some of the things that people say to us that leads to divisions, we need to look at them and say, show me where it says that in the Bible. Because again, a lot of divisions, a lot of things that divide the church don't even come from the Bible. You know, one of the easiest ones to use is, we'll use the music thing. Well, you should only use this type of music. Well, Psalms talks about harps, stringed instruments, flutes. There's all sorts of instruments used. And so, biblically, to say that you can only use one style of music is unbiblical. That doesn't show up in the Bible. That's a preference. And that's what causes... How many churches have been divided over the music wars? Sadly, a lot. And sometimes we just need to look at people and say, show me where it says that in the Bible. I've made a lot of people mad with that. Well, this is... Show me where it says that in the Bible. Well, it doesn't exactly. Wisdom comes from the Word, and when we spend time in the Word, we grow in wisdom and grow in our knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. How do we know right from wrong? We read it in the Word of God. Paul warns them to be wise in good and innocent in evil. As we read the Word, we learn what is good, and we grow more and more into the image of Christ, and we learn less and less of what is evil and we need to not even be a part of. When we are wise in what is good, we will seek to stop divisions and not be a part of them. As the people of God, we should stop divisions before they even start. But what has a tendency to do is we try to fuel them. You know, when one thing happens and somebody says something, we kind of jump on it. When a brother or sister in Christ has fallen, we kind of like to kick them when they're down. We kind of like to point out what they do wrong and never what they do right. Well, then Paul gives a warning. He says, watch out for God's justice. Verse 20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Amen. Verse 20 is close to what God said in Genesis 3:15 when he says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. God is going to deal with Satan. God will defeat the enemy. And you know what else? God is going to deal with those who cause problems and issues in the church and those who challenge people. He's called to be a leader. This is kind of scary. A few years ago, God really convicted me. I was very critical of other pastors. It's kind of funny to think about. But God convicted me. Who am I to make any accusation against someone that God has called? And I learned that from David when David had the opportunity to kill Saul. And David said, who am I to lay a hand against the God's anointed? If a pastor is truly called by God, he is anointed by God. And God is going to deal with anyone that causes problems. Earlier, I gave some examples of power struggles. I talked about Aaron and Miriam and how they challenged Moses. Look at what God did. Numbers 12, 9 and 10 says, so the anger of Yahweh burned against them and he went away, but the cloud withdrew from over the tent, and behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Moses was God's chosen leader. Miriam and Aaron challenged him. God gave Miriam leprosy. Well, what happened at the Korah rebellion when they challenged the leadership of Moses? in Numbers 16:31-33. And it happened that as he finished speaking all these words, the ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down to Sheol alive, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. Korah stood against God's chosen leader, and the earth swallowed them up. Look at what happened to Absalom in 2 Samuel 18:14-15. Then Joab said, "I will not wait around here before you." So he took three spears in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men who carried Job's armor gathered around and struck Absalom and put him to death. Look at what happened to those who attacked Daniel in Daniel 6:24. The king then said the word, and they brought those men who brought charges against Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. When we stand against the church and we stand against the leaders that God has called to lead the church, we stand against God. We need to be very careful about what we say and the charges that we, the things that we say about the church. As a member of Hopewell First Baptist Church, you should never say anything negative or bad about your church. Where rumors come from is from members. Where churches get a bad reputation is where members, where something didn't go the way of the member, and so they go out and complain about it in the community. It is heartbreaking when I hear about a problem in the church from another pastor. It shouldn't be that way. When we are concerned about our power and our preferences, we can cause divisions in the church. And as God's people, we are to be united. And God will deal with us based on how we treat each other. That's kind of scary to think about. God is going to deal with the people of God based on how they treat the people of God. We are to be united. We are to come together as one. Because God is a God of peace. God is not a God of division. God is not a God of disunity. The whole purpose of the Trinity is unity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all in one. And when we give our hearts and our lives to Christ, we become a part of the body of Christ. And we are to be unified. We are to be united as the people of God, regardless of our denomination, regardless of our background, regardless of our ethnicity. We are to be united as the people of God. And yeah, we can disagree on certain things. But as long as we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, that should be good enough. Because that's what matters. And Paul says, as he ends this section, he says, "And the God of peace will crush Satan." God is a God of peace. And there should be unity and peace among the people of God. We should have a unity among us. We should enjoy coming together. We should enjoy fellowship with each other. When we get up on Sunday mornings, we should be able to say two things. When we come to church on Sunday mornings, there's two things that we should be able to say. I get to worship my God. Number one, that's the most important thing that we should be able to say. And the second thing that you and I should be able to say, I get to go see my family. We're to be a family. Dysfunction and all. But we are to be united. We are to come together as one. And when somebody tries to divide the church, we need to step up and stand together and stop the division. And the only way we can do this is with God's grace. The last thing Paul says is, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." The only way that we can stop divisions, the only way that we can be united, the only way that we can come together as one is through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have problems with things that are happening in the church, if you're here this morning and you don't like something that's happening in the church, then you need to come to me as pastor, or you need to go to James as the chairman of the deacons. Don't go to people in the community that don't even go to the church. Don't go to somebody else and cause issues and problems. If you have a problem, biblically, you're supposed to go to the person you have a problem with. If you have a problem with Michael, you should go to Michael, not Karen. If you have a problem with Melissa, you should go to Melissa, not Curtis. That is the biblical model. Because what happens is, I have a problem with Michael, so I go to Karen and I tell Karen my problem. Well, Karen goes and tells Frank, and the story that Karen tells Frank's already been twisted. And so Frank then goes and tells Dolores, and now it's even worse. And then Dolores posted on Facebook so everybody can see it. I said, I don't even know if she has Facebook. See, doll, I didn't think so. But isn't that the way we normally do it? And what happens? Division. You know, there have been times where things happen in a deacon meeting and it gets back to somebody else and they're like, I can't believe you did this in a deacon's meeting. And I'm like, we didn't. That didn't even happen. If you have a problem, go to that person, or come to myself as the pastor, or go to James as the chairman of the deacons, or go to one of the other deacons. That's what we're here for. We cannot let, and hear this, guys, because God is doing some incredible things in this church right now. God is doing some incredible things. If you don't believe that, you need to come and see what God is doing with our kids on Wednesday nights. You need to come one Sunday night and see the Bible study and what God is doing. God is doing some incredible things in this church, and we cannot let the enemy infiltrate this church and cause division among the people of God over things that have no biblical issue. We cannot let the enemy in these doors. We cannot let the enemy use us. We cannot let the enemy divide us. And we need to stand strong and we need to stand true for God. Paul is warning the people. I know that you're obedient. I know that you're doing what you're supposed to do. But watch out for those who divide. And that's the warning that I want to give us as well. God knows of our obedience. God knows that we're wanting to do what's right. God knows that we want to follow after Him and we want to be the men and women that God has called us to be. And anytime God is on the move, so is the enemy. And the enemy will do everything in his power to stifle the church and stifle the Spirit and to stifle what God is doing, because the enemy is not concerned about a church that is divided and fighting among itself. The enemy is concerned about a church that is standing united under the banner of Jesus Christ and being the men and women that God has called it to be. And so when we take a stand, the enemy will attack. But we have to do what is good and right. In his letters, Paul helps us to see that the early churches dealt with problems that we deal with today. The things that the early churches dealt with are things that we deal with too. When God is on the move, so is the enemy. And if we're not careful, we can let the enemy hinder the work of God. So what is God saying to us today? Maybe we're here today and we need to watch out for those who divide. We need to stop listening to hearsay. Because let's not forget, there's always two sides of every story. You can't believe the first thing you hear. Maybe we need to stop fueling division. We might not be involved in the dividing, but we might fuel it. Do we know what truth is? Do we know what the truth is? Do we know what the Bible says about theology? We don't want to be on the bad end of God's justice. Because if we try to divide the church, then God's justice is coming after us. We need to be what God has called us to be. And we need to remember that God has called. I'm not here because you called me. I'm here because God called me. I'm here because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God called me to pastor this church. I've not stayed 5 years because of my belly, even though y'all do feed me really well. I mean, my goodness, y'all know how to cook. But that's not why I'm still here. I'm still here because God has called me to be here. And God has given me an incredible love for y'all. And I do. I love you all. I love you guys so much. And God has given me that. God has called me here to lead, to preach, and to teach. And I believe that you guys have taught me so much. You've helped me to grow. And I hope that I've helped you to grow. And I hope that we continue to become a stronger, greater family. You guys are my brothers and sisters. We're a family. And we need to be united. Awesome Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful text that you give us here in Romans. And I pray that you would help us to be a church that is united and not divided. I pray that we would fight for each other instead of against each other. And I pray that we would take a stand on the word of God and be the men and women that you've called us to be, and that we would not let the enemy have a foothold. And I pray right now, Holy God, that you would bind the enemy in this place, that you would not let the enemy have a foothold or a footstool any way into this church. I pray that you would place your protection round about, and that we would just keep the enemy out, that we would just kick him out, and that we would never allow him in these doors, and that we would just take a stand for you and stand on the word of God and be the men and women that you have called us to be. And I pray, Lord, that you would move in your church. I pray that you would use us to see the lost come to salvation. I pray that you would use us to make a difference in the community and in the world. I pray that you would use us to reach people across the globe with the message of Jesus Christ. I pray that over time you would give us a local ministry in our community, that you would give us a national ministry, and I pray that in time you would give us the opportunity to reach beyond this country and go into the world and share the message of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we would be united in you, and that we would watch out for those who would seek to divide, and that we would not give them the opportunity or the chance to divide your church. We thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.